Welcome to The Health Habits Coach, the podcast that helps everyday people in their 40s, 50s and 60s and beyond create a healthy life one habit at a time. Are you ready to embark on a journey towards vibrant well-being? Then join me, your host, Claire George, as I guide you through the challenges and the triumphs of building sustainable health habits for the long haul. For those of you who don't know much about me, I'm Claire. I'm a 52-year-old mum of three. I've moved house more than 20 times all around the world, across Asia, Europe, and North America. And I've overcome chronic Lyme disease, and I have 3 degrees, and 2 of those are masters in social and psychological behaviour change for health. I want to bring all this experience into our community to inspire you to stay fit, happy, and healthier as you age. We'll be exploring all the latest research and wisdom to help build healthy habits that will last you a lifetime. Let me and this dedicated community support you on your personal health journey. Together, we'll be uncovering the practical strategies tailored to your stage of life, discovering how to make a small and achievable change that can then fit seamlessly into your everyday routine. The Health Habits Coach is here to establish a new health and wellness model, one governed by positive self-management, not shame or judgment. So tune in to discover how you can lose weight, become more active, feel confident, and experience the rejuvenation that comes from better sleep habits. Okay, so it's time. It's time to start saying yes. Yes to your health aspirations as you dreamcast your future of well-being. Get ready for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and empowering stories that will transform your health journey. So I'm Claire George, and this is the Health Habits Coach podcast, and it's time to begin. So hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Health Habits Coach podcast. I'm your host, Claire George, and I've got an absolutely wonderful guest on the show today. I'd like you all to welcome Anna Laura Brown, who is host of the Autoimmune Rehab podcast. And her podcast is all about transforming health to inspire hope for people who are experiencing autoimmune, or for maybe family members and friends of people who are living with different autoimmune conditions. And the hope of Autoimmune Rehab podcast is to really help people hear about others' stories. And it's based on Anna Laura's own personal journey with her own autoimmune conditions that led her to want to give back and provide this opportunity for us all to have a chat. And so thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's brilliant to have you here. As we're going to get into, I have my own sort of personal experience with this space also, and it's dear to my heart. So thanks, Anna Laura. I want to welcome you and thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
So, you know, obviously it's a big space, autoimmune conditions. It's a big term which encompasses a lot of different health experiences and health and conditions. So maybe you could start by giving us a bit of a sense of why you ended up, you know, sort of hosting a podcast on, you know, with this, and you know, what's your personal sort of backstory and that led you to that point?
For sure, absolutely. So I started having, I guess you could say, autoimmune symptoms probably around 2013, 2014. So it was a while, and it took me 3 different doctors and a couple of years to finally get a diagnosis. And then in January of 2018, I was officially diagnosed with Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmune condition that attacks your thyroid, for anybody that's not familiar with what that is. And then that sent me on a journey of figuring out how to heal myself and how to get myself into remission. And I have to say that today I'm doing much better than I was originally, although, you know, flare-ups still occasionally happen. I don't know that it's totally perfect, but, you know, definitely doing much better. And then about a year and a half ago, I started realizing that there were a lot of people that had stories similar to mine that had been to multiple doctors and struggled to get diagnoses. And then a lot of people who had really figured out how to shed that label of autoimmune, if you will, and really thrive and not just survive, and realize that if I did a podcast and shared a lot of these stories with people, that that could really, really be helpful and shorten the learning curve for a lot of people. And it's definitely something that I wish I would have had back in 2018 when I first got diagnosed. That would have been amazing. So that was one of the drivers behind it, was just really that desire to get out there, shorten the learning curve, and help other people to hopefully experience less of a learning curve and less pain than I originally went through.
Yeah, I and thank you so much for your contributions. I know personally how meaningful it is for every individual who's listened to your podcast or connected with your work in this space. Is I for anyone listening that's not sort of as familiar with my work and my backstory, every woman in my family has autoimmune conditions. So the stage was set for me, shall we say, when I got bitten by an unarmed tick in Vermont in 2011. I'd literally only been in America a couple of weeks, and so I didn't even have a doctor. It was a mess. I got chronic Lyme disease, and which was several years of severe debilitating version of that, and the runarounds of doctors and specialists, and not getting anywhere, and not having any support network, no family, no friends. 2011, there was the internet, there was plenty of stuff for some areas of our world, but there was nothing, absolutely nothing for Lyme disease. Or there was the odd blog at that time, and it was really quite scary and catastrophizing stories on these blogs to sort of really try and, it felt like to me, like try and sort of amplify how a person's experience was, as opposed to the details and the support aspect. So I didn't find that very useful. So I wish that your podcast and podcasting in general was around back in 2011, because I know that I would have found it absolutely gorgeous to have been able to connect with you, with your community and your and the work, and sharing the stories. Because the thing I felt was, it's very lonely experiencing autoimmune, and there's more things that are not known about your health, it seems, than unknown. And it's that whole navigation and exploring and trying to find out some answers, so that at least I have understanding, even if I've got to live with certain conditions. So, yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, sort of moving into, obviously we introduced this space, but, you know, what are the activities do you think that you're getting up to in today then with your podcast? You know, what sort of how do you aim to sort of serve, and how do you help more specifically in this autoimmune world?
For sure. So I aim to, there's a couple things I do. So for one thing, I aim to have a variety of different guests with a lot of different experiences, different autoimmune challenges. And I met, I think, at least three, maybe four guests now that have specifically said that it was Lyme disease that triggered their autoimmune. And so Lyme definitely can play a big role. And in fact, it can play a bigger role in autoimmune than a lot of people realize, I think. And I think that's just starting to come into awareness. But anyhow, yeah, so I strive to have people with a lot of different experiences and different conditions. So the podcast isn't only about people with, you know, Hashimoto's and Graves, or only people with celiac or lupus or whatever. They feature the wide gamut of different conditions, so that people will hopefully be able to find at least a couple episodes that they can specifically relate to. But then in addition to that, what I do is I publish, and this is actually my freebie, so we're jumping ahead a little bit, or one of them anyway, but I publish the first edition, and then I will be releasing updates probably approximately every 90 days, where people can join my email list and they get an ebook that contains a summary and all of the contact information for every guest that has been on my podcast, so that people can have that as a resource that they can not just listen, but they can have something they can sit there and look at and actually take those tidbits that they can actually apply. And then if they want to, they can have that information. They can actually reach out to all the different guests. And, you know, because a lot of these guests either offer supplements that are really helpful to autoimmune. A lot of them offer coaching. A lot of them have free resources like downloads and online courses, different things. And they're all in, you know, like different aspects and different spaces than what I have to offer people. So we have that. Then I also have a blog as well that I provide lots of different information on. I also do classes and webinars on a regular basis so that people can come as a group and learn about how they can help improve their health, all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. Wow. Gosh, I feel the need to thank you again. Anna Laura, like this is an amazing contribution that you do freely, you know, and from your heart. And I just really just know how important that is. And I love that because it is a big wide world, autoimmune. Each condition is a whole body system, you know, sort of situation, which we're going to get into in a moment, I'm sure. But yeah, so to have that access for individuals who've got that niche experience and lived experience and professional experience potentially of each different sort of area of autoimmune conditions, I think is an amazing idea. And I love it. And I'm sure, you know, we will be sharing it again just to make sure you don't miss it. But yeah, it will be in the show notes. So you'll be able to get access to that for definite. And I really encourage you, because there's something really comforting and supportive about just hearing somebody else's story that's sort of a little similar to yours. This is what I think. And you're right. Lyme disease was just the trigger. It was the catalyst. It wasn't the condition that I really was battling for several years. It was autoimmune. And there's a lot of different aspects that need to come into play in that, because that's why I think it's so important to hear another person's story, because the medical approach, it leaves a person typically, most people with autoimmune conditions, they're typically left in a gap between a rock and a hard place. They haven't really got any guidance or advice, but there aren't really any answers, and, you know, or any of the suggestions are quite extreme, you know, like taking certain medications. And like you mentioned, that's why I think many people do go a more gentle route, because I personally think that, yeah, autoimmune is a lot to do with kindness to ourselves and not pushing our bodies, and that can be one of the most important lessons to learn about how to live with autoimmune, because really truly the chances are it is basically for life, and it is a management, and it is, like you said, a remission relapse scenario. And you know, and so, you know, it is something we got to learn to manage, I think. So I'm just wondering, like, how you think, you know, talking a little bit on that, how you think that autoimmune is different to, say, a single condition health experience?
I think the biggest thing, and this is something that, unfortunately, I find that a lot of, you know, traditional healthcare just doesn't get, or maybe they just don't know how to deal with it. Whatever the case may be, is that autoimmune means that you have some kind of an actual root, at the root cause of all autoimmune is some sort of a problem with your immune system. So what people don't get sometimes is, let's say it is something like Hashimoto's or Graves, which are the two autoimmune conditions that attack the thyroid. They immediately think, oh, that means that I have a thyroid problem. Well, you do have a thyroid problem. It's not that you don't have a thyroid problem, but the root cause of it is that your immune system is actually attacking your thyroid, which is different than just having, say, a thyroid levels that are not normal without the autoimmune. And in the case of, say, something like lupus, it's where it's, you know, its root cause is more, you know, related to your skin. You know, with celiac, it's, you know, the intestine and the stomach area, and, you know, and so it's an actual immune system problem, and hence the reason why most people with autoimmune conditions get sick more frequently, especially if they don't have it under control. And it's also why when they do get sick, they get sick for a longer extended period of time. Usually, although there are ways, you know, and I've learned over the years of having autoimmune how to shorten that and how to not get sick as frequently. But generally speaking, you know, people, that especially if they don't have that autoimmunity under control, it's an immune system problem. So even removing the organ, like in the case of not having the thyroid anymore, that doesn't get rid of your autoimmunity. It just says, oh, you know, your thyroid's been removed, but your autoimmune problem is still there. And that's something that sometimes I've had people tell me, even their endocrinologist told them that taking it out would get rid of it. And it's like, what? No, that isn't how it works. It's because it's rooted in your whole immune system as the root cause.
Yeah, and that is the word, root cause. And I'm thinking, for anybody listening who's enjoying this conversation, really, I do recommend, a couple of episodes ago, I had Reed Davis, founder of FDN, and on board certified like multiple times, but he's on the American Association of Holistic Health Practitioners and boards, national boards, multiple. And he was on my podcast, and he talked about this exact thing about, you know, health as a system and root causes, and that you have this downward spiral. So for me, that tick bite and the Lyme bacteria or whatever, but then there was this downward spiral that then created all this autoimmune. And I think that he spoke of how sort of the main street medical doctor will typically look to attack the symptom with like a band-aid. Let's go after the situation with the thyroid, as your, to take your example, but not really addressing what's creating the problem with the thyroid. So you might take down that, but my own experience of autoimmune, and I know this to be the case for many others out there, is that it pops up in one part of my body and I go after it, and then it pops up in another part. It's like a little traveling
tree. Exactly it. And that's why they say that a lot of people, especially if you're really not proactive about it, you can end up with multiple autoimmune conditions. So you can start out with one, then you can end up with two or three, or in some cases, even more than that. And so that's really why you want to focus, one reason actually, rather, to focus on your immune system and on really trying to help heal your gut and your root cause. Because if you don't, you can end up with multiple autoimmune conditions. So.
And that's why, I mean, I was fortunate that just before I contracted the Lyme, I just completed a master's in social program development, intervention design, and a big chunk, like 18 months of my time, was spent systems thinking, systems mapping for complex emergencies like post-earthquake. How do you deliver aid, or how do you create development in places with very complex social situations? And it was quite helpful because I basically applied it to myself. I did a lot of research. I guess I was doing biohacking to some extent, probably some people might call it. I just thought I was just trying to take care of myself, but essentially started getting into that space, and it was my health habits, my, like you say, mainly it was my gut health. And that's why that's such a big part of the Health Habits Coach, you know, my programs and what I do. It's one part because I'm a holistic health coach, but yeah, definitely sort of identifying that. And so I'm interested to know what you think about this sort of this wider landscape, and how autoimmune conditions, you know, goes beyond just that individual problem, medical problem, and then starts filtering out in my second master's in health psychology, which is all about the biopsychosocial aspects of health and the health, the experience of our health, how we feel, how we are different with our partners, our children, our family, our friends, because we are experiencing chronic fatigue syndrome, which is really, really a common element of autoimmune conditions. And so then how that affects your whole social life and your whole experience and quality of life. So I'm interested to know what you think, yeah, of this wider landscape and the factors, you know, that influence a person's health experience, you know, and journey.
For sure. Well, and it can impact, like you said, your life in a lot of areas. I mean, it can make it so that, you know, you become somewhat of an at-home recluse, if you will. Like, you don't feel good, therefore you don't want to go out and do things with anybody. You can sleep a lot longer hours than maybe other people might, and I still occasionally feel the need to sleep more than maybe might be usual, but you know, I try to listen to my body and do what I feel like my body needs. But fortunately, I'm past the stage where I feel like I need to sleep, 10 plus hours every single day, which at one point in time in my life, that was how I felt. And it can make it so that it can be hard to commit to doing things, especially outside of normal business hours, because you'll be like, okay, if that's going to be later at night, then maybe I'm not going to feel good. So I don't know, And so, yeah, I mean, it definitely can impact lots of areas of your life. If you have children, it can impact those. I don't have children, so for me, that wasn't an issue. But for a lot of women that do have kids, that can be really even more challenging because, they're trying to balance taking care of the kids with their own health. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. My heart just it just feels this conversation. Because I'm right back in 2011 in a small apartment in New York City and no friends, no family. I couldn't even walk a few blocks. I didn't have the energy to, read a bedtime story. I'd got three children under eight. It was just so. I said a bomb was dropped. That Lyme disease, it was like a bomb was dropped on my life, my everything. It just everything. And it took a while for me to come to terms mentally, emotionally. And that was definitely the first part of it for me. Was actually less. I went chasing after doctors and all that stuff that most of us sensibly try to do. Didn't really get anywhere. But I think it was that's creating that space to accept that this was real and that it wasn't necessarily going to be forever, but it was my reality. And once I got around that, and there's a therapy that I've since come to know quite well, but I didn't know I was doing it at the time. It's called ACT, and it's a psychological third wave therapy called acceptance commitment therapy. And yeah, it's all about coming to terms and acceptance, because then we start to communicate with those around us around how our experience is for us, and then they're able to support us. I think most people that I've spoken to in this space talk about guilt and shame, feeling guilty that you can't attend something, feeling like you've got to constantly create sort of reasons or excuses, or seeing it as an excuse, instead of just owning it. And I think of two things. One, I used to say so often to try and express how it was, but you don't look ill, because that's what people used to think. But you don't look ill. Looked exactly how I look now. I didn't look any different. And I used to say, if I had blood gushing out of a wound, you'd be like, oh my gosh, Claire, can I help? Because it was all internal and you couldn't see visible signs of my illness. It was treated very in that way. And that's I think one of the hardest parts for many people in this space. But and then the second was a lupus. It was a blog. It was the only one I found of any use. And it was this lady, I don't remember her name, but she was had lupus, and she talked about a spoon theory, and that you only have so many spoons of energy, so many spoons a day. And she taught me the concept of energy was a resource that you need to consider just like you would dollars or pounds in your purse. And you've only got so much to spend. And once it's up, it's up. And so really getting very strategic about how you're going to spend. And if you go over, then you've gone into debt. You'll pay for it. So that was something that I found really useful at the time. That concept of my energy and preserving it and protecting it, but then also expressing and communicating my inner experience with my core outer world.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
So I don't know ways in which we can, like I mentioned with the spoon theory of helping people to support themselves when they are experiencing autoimmune conditions. Maybe you've got some other suggestions around sort of some of the tools and techniques that somebody can start to bring and skills they can start to develop in their day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. So I think one of the things is having really good routines. So having a really good morning routine that you know that works for you, that isn't going to take hours and hours, because nobody really has time for that, even if you don't have an autoimmune condition. But having a specific routine that really helps to balance you, get you ready for the day, helps you be able to do what you need to do in the day. And some of the things that I like to have in a morning routine is making sure that, like if you are taking medication, that you have the medication, you have any supplements that you might be taking in the morning, drinking water first thing in the morning. I also find some kind of spiritual or inspirational reading of some sort and meditation for just a little bit, and then doing some kind of movement within an hour of waking up for at least 20 minutes. You can go longer, that's great. I personally like to go swimming at least a few times a week. And then when I don't go swimming, I like to be outside walking or, doing some stretching, different kinds of aerobic movement, that kind of thing. And if you can have those things at least be part of a morning routine, then those can really help. And then also having, like a sleep routine as well to get you ready for bed at night and to help you sleep better. And then the third one that I would add in would be some kind of meal routine and meal planning, rather than just saying, oh, well, on a whim, I'm going to eat whatever I feel like, or, I'm just going to buy all this food and then I'll figure it out later. Because that, for one thing, can lead to a lot of binging and eating things that maybe are not going to be good for you, that are not going to fuel your body. It also could take a lot more time. You could be tempted to eat out more because you're just sitting there looking at the cupboard full of food that you bought, but yet you haven't really figured out what recipes and actual meals you're going to create out of it. So I find that really those three routines, and then if I could add a fourth one, it would be prioritizing your self-care. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to spend full days at the spa or that you have to do all these fancy things. It basically just means that you need to prioritize taking care of yourself over taking care of a lot of other people and ask for help when you need it, that kind of thing. And I feel like those are the big ones for helping you to be able to gain control of your health or regain control of your health if that's what you need, if you feel like you've lapsed back a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've just summed up it beautiful. Thank you so much for really clear, but sort of a nice package of health habits in effect. And you have got all the four core quadrants covered, and covered with not just what, but how. So I absolutely love that. And the four quadrants that I four key cornerstone habits, regardless of whether you've got. If you're trying to optimize your health, whatever your starting position, whatever your landscape, then the first one is going to be your nutrition. Food is medicine. There is nutritional psychiatry. I'm really into that space now. I run my own gut health program, Happy Gut. I'm one half of a duo called the Gorgeous Gut Girls. I gut health is really at the heart of any kind of health habit for somebody experiencing autoimmune. It really, 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 truly is, no matter your age. Some people can get away with less optimal nutrition when they're, say, in their 20s, and many young people. And that's the thing that got me a little bit was after I'd recovered from my Lyme and through my habits, I then was approached by quite a few people actually who would be like, they heard and then they saw me, 5 years later, and I was really super fit and really healthy. And they were like, I want some of that. My daughter's got Lyme disease and she hasn't basically gotten off the couch in a year. And so, yeah, it was very much, sort of base first is that gut health, that nutrition. Second is movement. It's a weird thing. It's one of them counterintuitive things we feel. So, like, tired isn't the word. It is fatigue. It is clinical, and it does. And we need to try and figure out, am I really fatigued, or is this just a sense? Like,
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are days that I really don't feel like going to the gym and swimming or getting up and walking or whatever, but I make myself do it anyway. And I'm always glad I did. And I find that I actually have more energy throughout the day by making myself do it. So, yep.
innovation energy, and it's the power it has for the brain and the gut. So the exercise, especially for someone with, like you've mentioned, celiac or, you know, or intestinal IBD centered autoimmune conditions, then exercise has been shown in studies to actually strengthen the gut lining and so reduce that leaky gut, which is often the root cause for those autoimmune conditions or behind it. So definitely, you know, sort of trying to find a way. I mean, it doesn't matter how small it is. Not about, you know, I do have one rule actually for anybody with autoimmune. It's just don't compare yourself. Start whatever habit of these habits you're trying to start. Number one, it's about you. It's about where you're starting from. And just trying to level up, you know, it is the tortoise wins the race. It is slow but steady. It is gentle. These are the ways that you're going to improve. And then, like you say, third cornerstone habit is sleep. Without optimizing our sleep, we're not going to be able to have that energy, those spoons. You can get an extra couple of spoons to spend if you really focus on your bedtime routines and morning routines. And then, yeah, absolutely right. Fourth, and possibly for me, the most important is that self-care and really identifying how can I prioritize my health as my first wealth. Because anybody with autoimmune condition knows that the days that their health isn't going so well, that's it. Whether you like it or not, it's taken over the experience of your life. So yeah, definitely, I think that really sums up those really well. So that's, I think that's a really nice, you know, sort of way to segue into maybe a little bit of your own personal sort of tips on this now, Anna-Laura, and whether you might be so kind as to answer a couple of my health habits coach traditions. The first is completing the sentence or quote, if you like, whatever you want to say, but completing health is. What health means?
Health is wealth to begin with. I feel like, you know, your ultimate wealth is not really in money, it's in having really good health. But I also feel like health is when you actually are able to do the things that you want to do when you need and want to do them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, to go avoid the comparitis whole situation, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can go run up a mountain right now. But it means that you're able to live a full and complete life, I guess, if you will, without too many restrictions, and that you are able to, you know, do what you need and want to do and live a happy and fulfilled life.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's a really lovely the version of the health is wealth adapted for somebody, you know, living with and managing an autoimmune condition. Because as we've touched on a number of points, our health is so much to do with our energy, and our energy is often the biggest thing we want more of when we're experiencing autoimmune. Usually that's the thing that gets a little, and that's why, you know, because of so much to do with the metabolic health and again, I come back to gut health, the way to go. But yeah, love it. And then what about a little gem, I like to call it, of a health habit, maybe a little extra health habit you've got that's not necessarily to do with autoimmune or to do with that side of things, but you just find, yeah, that's a little good tip to share.
Well, you know, whether it's actually autoimmune or not related, my biggest thing is that I actually got an in-home infrared sauna about a year and a half ago, and that has made a really big difference on inflammation and swelling in the autoimmune. But I think that a lot more people, even if they have autoimmune or not, can really benefit from the infrared saunas and infrared light. So I would say if that's not something that you have researched or taken a look at, you really should.
Yeah, that is a wonderful, it's because then you're hitting a lot of different things. You're getting that sort of cellular level sort of energy and goodness, but in a self-care way, because it's like, you know, it's really enjoyable. I joined a gym and sort of a place near me last summer, simply for the infrared sauna. I actually don't really do much gym work there. I do my stuff like that at home. But yeah, it's just, I go to relax. I go to the gym to relax. Because I work from home.
That works too, you know.
Yeah. Gym to work out. I do my workouts at home or from home, and walks and runs and yoga. I do different things. But I go to the gym to relax. So I might go in the pool, but I don't have any amount of time or length. I go in the sauna, but I don't have any amount of time. I just go with like when you go around the shops, you know, when you go to the stores and you're like, oh, I'm going to go to the stores today. You don't decide exactly. And it's like a job and a task. It's like, I go to the gym like that. Just go, oh, see what I feel like doing.
Yeah, that works too, you know.
I love that little habit of the sauna, and definitely, you know, if resources don't allow you to, or space maybe in your home allow you to have one in your own home, then maybe you could find a local one near you and get it into your day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. I will add that that's initially what I did too, but the one I have is actually in my bedroom. It's a portable, so I don't have like one of those big cedarwood ones that you have to actually install in a separate room. So there are actually these days a lot of options that you can actually even fit into like very small space. But yeah, I mean, obviously joining a gym or going some kind of, you know, like health and wellness center that has them, that's what I did for a couple of years before I actually finally was like, I think I want one in my house. So.
Do you mind sharing with the audience? They're probably intrigued to know a rough sort of approximate price point to have.
The one I bought, I think I got it on a special, but the regular price is around $1,400.
Okay.
US.
Yeah,
that's so,
as powerful as I thought it was. I thought it was going to be mega. So, I mean, obviously it is a lot of money. There's no getting away from that. But you know, for many people, they could look at ways of doing GoFundMes or getting family members to club together, and in the space of a year's worth of birthdays and holiday gifts, instead of having
absolutely
do for a wedding, you know, registry, you could do something like that. And it's the infrared sauna registry, and I need this.
There you go.
You know, when there's a will, there's a way, you know, you shall find a way, I'm sure. So, but thank you so much for sharing everything, for coming on and sharing all your kind love for the whole world of autoimmune conditions and people experiencing them. And, you know, I really appreciate you being here on the podcast, but also all the work that you do with your show and, you know, your community and your blog and so forth. But before you go, I think you might have a little bit more detail. If you could, you know, let us know the resource that you're going to share with.
Sure, absolutely. So like I briefly mentioned, and I'll mention it here again because it's worth repeating, I have an ebook that I update about every 90 days that contains information on summaries and contact information for all the different guests that have been on my podcast. So I strive to have it be what I like to call it, the ultimate useful resource for people looking for help with their autoimmune healing. And you can get it pretty much from all the pages of my blog, which is annalaurabrown.com, or you can actually just go to the capture page I have for it, which I'm sure she'll link it below, but is annalaurabrown.com/ebook. And that's where you can go right to it.
Fantastic. I'm definitely going to be sort of downloading that. It's an amazing resource. And, you know, and you know, sort of, I don't know whether you share it with other, you know, sort of charitables, because there's a lot of charities, aren't there, in the space of trying to support separate conditions. So, yeah, amazing. I love signposting. I did a job for a year signposting at a medical practice. And I it's like a ripple effect, you know, that one resource that you've built has sent beautiful health and more happiness around the world. And so, yeah, incredible. But it is time to say goodbye. And you know, it's flown by. It's been a lovely episode. And I just want to say thank you so, so much. And hopefully it won't be the last time we'll get to meet again.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Thanks so much. And so I will be leaving in the show notes the contacts for Anna Laura and that resource, that little gift to you. So please do check that out and reach out to Anna Laura more directly if you've got, you know, something a specific question or a specific sort of challenge that you'd like some help with. It sounds like, as I learned in my first master's, at the beginning of a research sort of journey, find the woman who knows. And I happen to think Anna Laura Brown is the woman who knows when it comes to ordering. All right, so thanks, and see you all again next episode.